That will be a glorious day, won't it? You know, people for centuries have tried to figure out, what will it be like? Will I just stand there with my mouth hanging open, or will I fall to my face? We don't know. I think every last one of us is going to react a little different. We may just fall flat down. We may just sit down. Some may take off running and shouting and jumping who've never run and shouted and jumped before. Man, it's going to be a glorious day. If we're here, we hear that trumpet shout, and we see that king coming on a white horse with King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his thigh. Some of us are going to shout, and some of us are going to go, oh, nuts. What we're looking forward to, others are going to regret. That's why we need to make sure they know. Amen. Jesus came so that we all could go. Praise God. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come and we present to you our tithe and our offering. The sweat of our brow, the toil of our hands. Father, we thank you and we praise you that we were able to do it. We thank you for multiplying and blessing our coffers, Lord, our work, our business, Lord. I thank you and praise you right now that you're moving in all of that. Thank you for everything you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. Hallelujah. I don't think. Wasn't your phone going off, was it? Okay. Oh, goodness. Well, I can honestly say there's a little sigh of relief up here. The graduate has graduated, and we are... yeah, free at last. Not from him, no. He's not going anywhere. Good time, though. Good time, but... You know, that's what we do, right? Those moments are what we live for. Now, I ain't going to say that I'd want to be a party planner or anything like that for a living. You really got to be a special person to do that. There's just no other way to put it. Praise God. Well, last week we began talking. I began preaching. Obviously, we're talking about legalism and grace. But last week, I told you that I had found my joy again. Having gotten saved at 8 years old, I had no idea what I was saved from. No idea that I was a fallen being. So, that never really registered to me. People talk, oh, hallelujah, they get saved. And I'm like, what's the big deal? And then I repented of my rebellion at 21 and told God to use me. And even then, I still didn't have a joy that I've heard people talk about. I've just run the course because it's what you do. I've stayed the course because it's what you do. But I didn't have joy. Because I still, in as much times you've heard me talk about how much I hate religion how much I hate legalism, how much this, 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 and this, I'd still hold myself to it. And then a couple weeks ago, I went and did something that may or may not have offended you, may or may not have made you mad. And I addressed that. It's not about you. I've taught you how to be free. It's time I got free. Because for me to hold myself to the law meant I was in condemnation regardless. And that's what I want to talk to you about. That's what we're going to be going through most of, at least several chapters of the book of Romans. And I want you to understand, for those of you, well, a tattoo is different, Pastor. No, it's not. You break one law, you broke them all. You might as well have slept with your neighbor. I need you to understand. That's what Paul said. And I'm getting way ahead out of my message, but I need to get some of this out so some of you can at least start getting the foothold of freedom. Because I told Angela, I said, for the first time in years, I have joy. Now, we had a lot of stress coming up. I mean, we had still had a couple weeks of finishing preparations and things that had to be done here, organizing things for different people. But yet, I had joy. I had peace. And I want you to have that joy and peace and understanding you're free from the law. Well, Pastor, I think we can handle a little bit of law. No, you can't. You can't handle one law. Not one. Again, you take grace. You got all them nice chocolate chunks. Anybody at the party the other night, we had those chocolate chunk cookies. I'm going to tell you right now, 4 is too many. You can guess how I found out. I laid on the couch like, oh, I just had to do it. Take that beautiful chocolate chunk cookie, plop you a dog turd on it. That's law on grace. We're going to talk about, by the way, the law is not evil. The law is not bad. As Paul put it, I would have never known what was sin under the law. Now, as Paul also stated later, he said, I've come under the grace to know that all things are lawful for me. They're not all beneficial. Because if we go through the law, if you read through the law, honestly, you don't want a tattoo, don't get a tattoo. My wife doesn't want one. People were surprised it was her idea. But let me remind you, in Leviticus 19:19, it also states, do not let your animals mix. Horses and donkeys. Anybody know what that makes? Do we use mules? Oh, yeah. Don't mix the seed in your fields. Don't mix your linens, what they're woven with. Anybody wearing a poly or a wool blend today? Cotton blend? Polyester? You're violating the law. Anybody love strawberry banana or banana orange drink? Oh, they're delicious, aren't they? You violated the law. You don't mix them. Some of it is, I'll just tell you flat out why. You want to know why you got some stomach problems? There's acids in that stuff. That's why God wanted most of that. He wanted you to understand, you cannot live to the law. You will never fulfill the law. Because you will get hold of, oh, that fruit plate was so good. All those mixed up fruits. You're not supposed to do that. How many of you like catfish? It's got to be short catfish. You get them over 18 inches, you might as well throw it back. They're fun to fight, but they taste like swamp. Well, you violated the law. You ever had shark? The shark I had was good, and I regret not having more. It was sweet. Don't do that. Don't eat it. I like oysters. If you like clams, shrimp, you violated the law. God made sure that we could not get justification through the law because he knew Jesus Christ was coming to bring us grace. Well, why? Well, I don't understand, Pastor. Why are we eating them now? We've grown with some knowledge on some of this stuff, too. By the way, pork chops and bacon. We talk about bacon, and nearly every person in here agreed with me. Bacon is good. Right? However, swine are against the law. They got cloven hooves, but they don't eat the cud. We've learned how to, what we feed them, we are ultimately eating. So we feed them grains now. We've learned you only eat oysters that are harvested in the months with R. Because there's the other time, I believe it's their breeding. And the waters are cooler during the months of R. Do you notice June, July, and August? May, June, July, and August are all warmer months. We don't eat rabbits all the time. There's a certain time. Why? They have these little worms in their flesh during the warm months. There are reasons for all of this. You don't eat the blood. Now, there is a sacrament. We're going to study that sometime. There's a sanctity to blood. But why else wouldn't you want to eat blood? Just from a normal standpoint, besides it's kind of gross. Well, where do diseases, where are they at? They're in your blood. Oh, I'm going to go drink a big cup of blood. Blood pudding. I knew a guy that ate it. By the way, he died. I don't know what he died of, but he was only a couple years older than me. He was from England, by the way. By the way, your medium rare steak has not got blood in it. Blood and that stuff coming out of your meat is two different things. Blood, if you know, is thicker. Now, rare, I can't do them. I'm sorry. I think I've got one person that I know of that can come close to doing them, but not me. I know a couple of people that can eat their steaks rare. I like them medium. But, so in all of that, we realized that what God was trying to teach us was you can't live and serve him and be sanctified by legalism. It's only through faith, through Jesus Christ, can we be justified. And I found that as I was continuing to just do things because, well, I just won't do it. I have always tried as a preacher to teach you how to be free from law, to serve God and find joy in your salvation. But yet I held myself to that. I told Angela, as the week was coming up to the date when I was going to get my tat, that I said on Monday I nearly canceled the appointment. I was going to cancel it because, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, first off, that's too late. I've already offended tons of people. But I was more worried because of Leviticus 19:28. That scripture deals with something entirely different. It says don't tattoo yourself. It does say it. That's the only place in there, by the way. Again, if I'm going to live according to that one, I have to throw away all. This shirt's got to go. These jeans probably got to go. My boots got to go because they're mixed material. All that fruit and vegetables we ate the other night, that was just totally a violation of the law. Well, and the pulled pork, completely off the charts. I've always found it funny. We celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our risen Savior, the Jewish Messiah, with ham. Anybody else find that peculiar? Yeah, we're free. But I nearly canceled it because of that. But after I got it, and I started, and then I came up here and I told you guys, the very next morning, I was actually happy. Now, I know you don't know it up here, but there's days I got up here just because I had to. Not if a preacher tells you he's all the time fired up, hallelujah, praise Jesus, we're going to go cast out demons, he's on something. Because Monday mornings, you can ask her, I wanted to quit. Because the devil attacks. Well, they didn't get it. Oh, there's people, they're mad at you for what you said. You hit their precious holy cow. Oh, some of you, I know I do. And if you think I did it, I probably did it on purpose. I want you free. The Bible says that he who is in Christ is free indeed. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. When do we get to have an abundant life? When we're free. When we're not living according to people's rules and regulations. No shorts, no beards, no tats, no earrings, no makeup, no perfume, no deodorant, no open-toed shoes, no sandals. By the way, did you know that every monk violates the law? The ones with the little bald spot? It's in Leviticus. Do not shave a bald spot on your head. I'm like, the Catholic Church is number one for controlling people with law. And yet they make their priests violate it. They're not allowed to get married. That's against the law. The priests were allowed to get married. Shave their heads. Call me Father. Jesus said, don't call any man Father. There's only one. So when we get into it, religion just wants to kill you. It wants to take away your joy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have an abundant life. This life is supposed to be fun. It's not all the time fun, now is it? We know that you got to work. There's struggles. There's trials. But you got to be able to wake up and say, I enjoy being alive. Not, I want to go crawl in a hole in Alaska and stay there until Jesus comes back. That is what religion does to us. It kills our soul. Well, you got to do this. Here, I'm going to help some of you out, and I know what I'm saying. I got to do this because it's what's expected. Several years ago, I did what was expected. You know what happened? It bit me in the backside big time. I'm doing it to honor. Boy, I tell you right now, it was not honor. I got played. I got stabbed in the back. I still can't get the knife out. And it split my family wide open, and it revealed the greed of the people in my family. There's others that are still, oh, I just loved them. I loved them too, but I'll never trust them ever again. They're a bunch of thieves and liars. I believe they killed my grandmother. I don't think anything, she didn't do that naturally. Her mother lived to be 97. My grandma died at 82. Nothing was wrong with her. And then all of a sudden, but what I'm telling you, folks, sometimes you got to stand. We're going to talk about, you got to love yourself. The revelation I got the other day, I'm just going to help you out here real quick. Like, I haven't even gotten my message yet. This is just prelude to it. How's that? We know that Jesus fulfilled the law, did we not? He fulfilled the law completely. How did the man complete the law? He did things that were against the law. So how did he fulfill it? Because Jesus said something they didn't know. They didn't understand. They were trying to trip him up, and one teacher says, Master, what is the greatest commandment? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul. And there is a second one that is like it. That means they're right here. One's not above the other, because you have to do one to do both. Okay? He said, it is to love your neighbor as yourself. These, therein, on these lies the law and the prophets. In those two commandments, the law is fulfilled. He did those two. He fulfilled all the law. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, Master, what must I do to attain eternal life? And he said, obey the commandments. What commandments was he talking about, folks? Obviously, those two. He wasn't referencing the ten that I've never cheated, I've never lied, I've never stolen, I've never slept with another man's wife, I take the Sabbath, da-da-da-da-da. He listed all of them, except those. Jesus said, there's one thing you're lacking. Take everything you have and go and sell it and give it to the poor. And the man dropped his head and walked away. He didn't love the poor as himself. He found himself to be above it, which, by the way, that is a breach in judgment. When you prefer one over the other, if you have a rich man and a poor man come to you and the poor man saying, hey, he screwed me over. And you say, well, that's tough. I'm going with him. It doesn't mean you cared about justice at all. That's a violation of the law. But he wouldn't sell what he had to give to the poor. Was this man a good enough man to have gone on and made more money? Absolutely. He's absolutely smart enough to do that. I remember years ago hearing something about our current president, and he always said, somebody asked him, what would you do if you lost everything you had? He said, I'd scrounge up enough money, even if I had to borrow it, to go buy a good suit, and I would get in with men who knew how to make money. I would get where they were at. I would be where they were at. They'll know how to make money. That's why what the first church was doing in the beginning about having everything in common, we'll call it communism, because that's what it was. That's why it wouldn't work. The poor you will always have, Jesus said. It's a poor mentality. Poor spending. You give somebody who's poor $5,000, what do? We're going to Disney! How about catching up on your bills? How about buying food? How about fixing your car so you can go to work? How about putting tires on that car? Some people think about that. That means they don't really have a poor mentality. They have just bad luck. They've just been handed some bad cards to deal with right then. But people who want to remain poor, they just keep spending it. Now, so we know that. We know that God wants us to love Him. We cannot love Him if we don't love others, and we cannot love others if we do not love ourselves. As you love yourself. See, something got through to me in the military about I got to love other people. That's what changed one day. Because up until August 2nd, you still were going to have a hard time getting me to kill anybody. I wanted to get this little patch that said I'm a lover, not a fighter. But the truth of the matter is, if you're a lover, you are a fighter. That's all there is to it. And I did not have the concept, because what religion had taught and what just disrespect and dishonor had taught through the generations in both sides of my family. And nobody ever passed on any. Nobody passed on you stand for the flag. You stand for the national anthem. Anything I learned was from school, and just did it because it was at school and I had to. I didn't do it because I wanted to. I've stopped 4 lanes of traffic to pick up a flag. Now, the other day, I will have to admit, I was going down 71 at 80 miles an hour, and I saw a flag in the median. And I mean a real flag, not one of those little. By the way, if you're one of those people that puts in flags on your window, please stop it. They break. They're going to blow off. And it drives veterans nuts. But by the time I saw this flag in the median, it was too late to jam on the brakes and go back and pick it up. So I'm hoping and praying that the state trooper that was patrolling that area saw that night. Anyhow, I learned how to love. I started learning to love people. That's where it all began. as I learned to love people, I knew they had to be free. And I was willing to give up for me so that they could. And when I gave up for me, I quit loving myself. Oh, now there was a few things. Well, this is not a big deal. But when I got that tattoo, I'm going to tell you right now, I saw religious demons. Their horns popped out. Claws come out. It's time to bury them. Crucify them, people. Please. If you want to be free, I'll get you she'll let me get another one. No, she won't. I'm just telling you, though, you will not be free without realizing you have to provide the same freedom that you're allowing yourself. Well, you go out and you lose your temper, but yet the preacher gets up here and loses his temper. Well, I'm never going back. Trust me, you can ask my family. I've lost my temper. And that's mild. I have reeled that in. I didn't realize how much of a temper I had one day until I blew up on a couple Marines. And one of them cried. Because I went personal. Wasn't really fun. I should never have done it. But God has forgiven me, and I receive that forgiveness. And I pray that he finds the peace of God through somebody else. Because I wasn't trying to be a Christian then. I was still dealing with my demons and what I thought and what I was taught, and then come to realize that the people that were teaching me all this garbage that they were shoving down my throat, they couldn't live by it, and they blew apart. I don't care if I have the biggest church in this county or the state. I really don't. I want the most powerful. I want the freest people. I want you to enjoy the freedom that God gave you. He gave you this wonderful world to live in. Well, I hate this world. You better love it, buddy, because God's going to make another one just like it for you in the end. We don't live in heaven. I go to prepare a place, the New Jerusalem. That's what we, by the way, you notice it comes down. Anybody ever, would you ever read that in Revelation? Anybody else besides me think of these alien movies where these giant ships come down over Washington, D.C., and they're like miles and miles wide and miles high? It's like, that's what he's describing in the book of Revelation. Kind of little. Man, you didn't have to go too far. I mean, Ezekiel saw wheels within wheels. He saw things moving around without even having to look. He saw what we'd call UFOs. I ain't saying it is. I ain't saying they ain't. I ain't saying there's a Bigfoot, and I ain't saying there ain't. There may be. I met a guy the other day with size 15. And then another guy with size 20. Those are big feet. So they do exist. And I've seen some hairy guys. Just saying. Shall we get in the Word now? Galatians chapter 2, I believe. Oops. It's the wrong one. How about if I just read that one off of there? But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. You can't be justified by the flesh, can you? The law can't make you holy. Do you know what that drives people insane? Especially people who are of, I can't remember what personality it is, that likes things in orders. They gotta have order. They gotta have law to keep it straight. And they cannot get around this. This blows their mind. And they will still try to live by law. They will still try to raise their children by law. They will still try to live their lives by law. And if they preach, they will still preach law. This is what, by the way, here's, let me tell you what Peter was doing. Peter, when he was just out with the Gentiles, man, he'd go out and he'd eat dinner with them, which was a no-no. You didn't associate with Gentiles. He'd go out, he'd have dinner with them, all the preachers there, they'd go out and they'd have dinner, they'd go to other each other's houses and stuff and have dinner. But when Jews came around, they got up and left the table, pretended they didn't know them. And yet Peter was trying to tell them that, you know, there's no difference between you and I, but yet when Jews came around, Peter worried about what they thought. And Paul called him on it. He addressed them before his friends. He said, this hypocrisy is so bad, even Barnabas has been affected. Which, by the way, many scholars believe that Barnabas was the rich young ruler. And they also believe he was the one that should have been called to be the 12th disciple to replace Judas. Because, by the way, that man was called to follow Jesus. Remember, he said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. But it had gotten so bad that they did that. Peter started teaching circumcision again. You got to be circumcised. Why? What difference? Who knows? I mean, serious. I'm not trying to be gross here. We're all adults, right? Who knows? Usually two people. Well, maybe three. One who did it, husband and wife. That's it. And if you're an older guy, I knew a guy, a preacher, who felt he had to get circumcised in his late 50s. Let's just put it this way. Nobody saw him for about a week or so. I went over to his house and there he was in his robe. I had no idea. Why is he walking so funny? He got circumcised. Why would he do that now? I thought we were free. But people will do that thinking, well, hey, I can be holy. I can be justified. Let me tell you something, folks. This is my point. This is my stand on Messianic Jews who go back to the law and they start bringing their practices over to Christianity. You can't do it. Well, we still need to have our little prayer shawls and all of our stuff. We need to bring the shofars in. No, you don't. Judaism is all about law and it's all about death. It had nothing, couldn't bring life. If it could bring life, it would have. But it only brought death. Look, everything in there. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Look in the Bible. Look at the law. Every violation I just told you resulted in a death, either of the person or of the sacrifice that had to be made. You wore clothes that were of mixed linens. A turtle dove had to die for your stupidity. Thank God. God did this, like I said, God did all this to show them the futility of religion. They rejected God. Before Moses, Abraham was justified. Was he not? Bible says he was justified by faith, not by law. Because I'm going to be honest with you, you get into the Bible and you start reading all the things that are against the law. I'm like, okay, I know which one of the sons of Israel did this. They were violated. One violated his daughter-in-law. Others violated. David violated. Well, that was later on. That was under the law. He violated his father's concubines. Not David, but Absalom. That's who it was. I'll get the right name out there eventually. It couldn't be Tom, Dick, or Harry, could they? The law brought death. Even go back to Noah. Now, let's get something straight. I have no idea where the sacrificial requirements came from that Cain and Abel were participating in. There is nothing written. Nothing in Enoch, nothing I've seen in Jasher, nothing in our Bibles about a sacrificial requirement. And if it was such a good thing, then why do Molech and Baal and Amun-Ra and all these other gods get the same thing as Jehovah, Yahweh? Why are they offered goats and sheep? Why? Don't know. I don't know why there was a requirement at that point. There was obviously a blood requirement that came about. We don't know what took place. We ought to just stop trying to preach it because it doesn't matter. I think that's why we don't have it. It doesn't matter. We're not under a blood covenant of that type now. We are under the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. And that's where taking communion comes in. We are now understanding that we are under that grace covenant. The blood ratified the covenant. It means it changed it. It modified it. It said, that stuff is done. You no longer have to do that. You are free from it. But when the children of Israel, I believe the law came about because the children of Israel rejected God at Mount Sinai. Bring the whole camp up. Bring them all up. And let them meet me. Man, on top of this one mountain, there was a big cloud hanging over, and thunder and lightning was flashing all the time. And they're like, yeah, I think I'm good right here. We're going to just stay right here. Moses goes up into it, and they go, oh, man, certainly he's died up here. Hey, Aaron, why don't you, here, I got some gold earrings and this chain, you know, with my Mercedes emblem on it. Go ahead and melt it down and make me an idol. That's the God that led us out of Israel, or out of Egypt. They rejected God. They rejected a personal relationship. Folks, things today that some of us would give our left arm to see and beat. Listen, I've been into some powerful services before. But I promise you, I've never been in one where the cloud filled the building and thunder and lightning took place right there in your service. Never. And these people had that opportunity and they rejected God and said, oh, you've rejected the personal touch. Now I'm going to give you what everybody else has, except I'm going to crank it in so much tighter, you will realize it stinks. You can't do it. People have tried, but nobody could fulfill the law. Everybody broke one. And when you break one, you broke them all. That's what I'm trying to get you. And when you break all the law, guess what happens? You now have judgment coming down on you. Because judgment happened. If you look in Leviticus particularly, look at the law. God says, don't do this or judgment. See, we all think, well, I do this and I get to live my life, and then judgment in the end. No, the law was, you do this, judgment happened. And the judgment came down and was resting on you. So if I wasn't not getting a tattoo because of the law, I was violating it because I liked the banana orange juice. I liked the cran grape. I violated the law, and because I broke it there, I was now in violation of it there regardless. I was in violation of thou shalt not kill. I was in violation of thou shalt not commit adultery. And all that condemnation was coming down and stealing my joy because of one little law. Are tattoos for everybody? No. You don't want one? Don't get one. All there is to it. And I do, those of you that warned me they are addictive, I see how they can be. I really wanted to ask the guy, say, what do you think about just connecting the dots? See what we can make just by connecting all these freckles here. I would be one tattoo is all it would be. Which, by the way, kind of starts leading me towards violating the law again. Pimples, you violated the law. Any of you women ever come to church during your unclean time of the month? Let me put it this way. You ever went to work? You were around human beings during that time? You violated the law. You got to boil? Doesn't matter. You violated the law. God covered everything. Get in there and look. He covered everything. Now, by the way, the mixing of some of that stuff, we always throw around different, well, you got to look at different words. Well, the combinations of mixing fruits and stuff like that, God called them abominations. He also called homosexuality abomination, witchcraft an abomination. And if he calls it an abomination, I kind of take notice of the words he used. And if my drinking cane grape was an abomination, you know why? Because he didn't create it. He didn't create homosexuality. He didn't create mules. Did you know mules can't reproduce? And I forget, is it the male horse and the female donkey? Is that how the mixture goes? Female horse. Okay, yeah, that would make more sense. Be a poor little donkey here, and you got a horse coming out. It's like a tiny little woman with a 20-pound baby. Just kill me now. All of that violates the law because there's no life that comes out of it. You couldn't marry people of other races. Or what we call it. There's only one race, a human race. You couldn't marry somebody of another ethnic group. Can I tell you a little secret, which I've told you before? When you mix that, you start getting that blood and those genes mixed up, you create the most beautiful children you will ever see. They don't have the skin problems we all develop. Well, we're Irish. We just got it. No, you're Irish, and you just get it because there's not a whole lot of sun in Ireland. And you're all on an island, so everybody just kept mingling together. And you got, well, you got redheads. Yeah, my beard turns red. Whether it's from the Irish side or the Scottish side, I don't know. It might be from the North African, for all I know. I'm telling you, I've always said, everybody's got a little African in you. You can be the most precious person in the world. I guarantee you, they will find some in your woodpile. But you couldn't cross, you couldn't mix like that. And I found it even more hilarious that priests could not associate with a prostitute, which I kind of get that. You couldn't marry one. Anybody know who Jesus' great-great-grandmother was? Rahab the harlot. The great high priest, the king of kings, the Messiah, his grandmother was a prostitute. You see what God thought really about the law? The whole debacle surrounding his own birth? God doesn't care for the law. He cares about us. He wanted us to get smart and learn things. We now know that when you have sex, there's a bond that's created. And the more different people you have sex with, the least the strength of your bond. You know, all these porn stars, most of them are married. A lot of them are married to other porn stars. And they get divorced regularly. Because they have no way of a bond. I had a youth leader one time, and he described it like this. You take a piece of tape, you go down, and you just start putting it on things. Keep pulling it off. Every time you do, there's a little bit of that tape left on that item. And eventually the tape won't stick to anything.
That's why there's so many more rules about sexual immorality in the Bible than anything else, because it destroys or can build up a strong relationship. Religion wants to destroy that relationship. That's why I told you last week, that's why Paul said, the marriage bed is undefiled. He stipulated that with the marriage bed, by the way. No matter what the rules are, we get married with a preacher, or you can go to the courthouse, I don't care. You do it the way our customs are. You're married. You're good to go. My parents were married at the courthouse. My brother's married at the courthouse. Probably some of you may have been married at the courthouse. Rest of you, I'm looking around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think there's at least 5 in here right now that I've married to couples. You still do it God's way. God's way works. You don't need to bring an offering. You don't need to come up here and beat yourself. Oh, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. And I'm not even going to make it to Romans today. You have to receive God's mercy. That's all there is to it. Because I'm telling you, when you bring judgment, here's, Phil and I were talking about that, and what we were talking about is absolutely right, but there's another aspect of looking at. Jesus told us, he said, judge not lest you be judged, for with the measure you judge with is how you will be measured. Now, let's say you have to have something as your guide, right? You have to have something that sets your moral compass. Do you use the Holy Spirit or do you use the law? If you're using the law to judge, I'm going to throw myself on this, me, you will be judged by the law. Following? If you used God's grace and mercy and said, you know what, God, if he felt it was okay. By the way, do you know why you didn't get tattooed back then? Anybody here of sanitation? People died. And by the way, they took little bamboo sticks and a paddle. I can't imagine being a guy doing it. So anyhow, so if you're judging somebody else by what the law states, you are being judged by the law right now. And every violation of the law compounds on you. Anybody ever driven by a state trooper on the highway and you're watching him the whole time in your side view mirror? Rear view, looking to see if a turn signal or lights come on besides me? Just use your eyes. You don't. Peace out, brother. Just keep on cruising. But you're watching him the whole time. You may not be speeding. But you watch him. Don't you? You are watching that car to see if it comes out. And why are you watching it? One, you probably are guilty of something. Right? Two, you're afraid that there's a law you don't know about that you're violating. There's nothing more to make your adrenaline go up than be driving down the road and see a cop car come up behind you with the lights on. You go, oh. I mean, the rush of emotions. Your muscles tense up in your back. Your heart goes up, hits you in the brains and bounces back down into your bowels. And you're like, oh, God. You start getting over. And he goes, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do it because of a sin consciousness, because we judge other people. Would you look at that piece of junk going down the road? I mean, I wish a cop would come pull him over and just make him take that thing to the junkyard. And that was just my own son. No. I did make him put the doors back on his car before he took it to the junkyard. I said, you do know you're going to attract more attention. Yeah. He knew it, and he got more money out by having the doors on it. But you see, when we are in violation of the law, we're conscious of the law. And we can't love other people. Look at that bozo. He pulled out in front of me. I can guarantee, I won't ask you to raise your hands. You pull. I got him going up voluntarily. You pull out, you're like, why did I do that? Oh, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'll be honest with you. Where it gets me is on 95 out here, where there's so many nice straightways that you can see for a mile or so, and somebody pulls out in front of you and then turns 50 feet. And you were the only car for a mile. The guy wasn't thinking. He's just sitting there, oh, please, don't honk, don't honk, don't flip me off. He's begging for mercy. He thought he could get to his spot before you got there. But if you had been driving the speed limit, you would have got there at the right time. So therefore, we need to let God's mercy go with them too. When you start living truly what is free, pray for those. That's why the Bible tells us, pray for those who spitefully use us. We can't hold them in judgment. I want God's mercy of judgment in my life. Just in the event he says, Art, you moron. Now, having said that, let me tell you something. If you are in something, you've done something you know God doesn't want you in or participating in. Not that it's evil. Stop. If you've gone taken a job or you've gone here, get in God's will where he wants you. Quit fighting where you're at and say, God, where do I need to be? And if God has, and I know several of you in here looking for different jobs. And I've told you, patience. Patience. It will pan out. God will bring you. But you need to be ready, because when God brings you to what you wanted, there's sides of what you wanted you didn't see. Right? By the way, those of you going to college and taking courses for all this stuff, they only teach you this much. When I got out of a Motor T school for diesel mechanics, I'd been there for 3 months. Every day we were in class or driving or doing something. And when we graduated, one of the sergeants was standing up there and he said, all right, now guys, he said, you're going to go out in the fleet. He said, everything we taught you doesn't matter, because what they do is what you need to do. You just have enough knowledge that you'll be okay. And what I later learned was, in the fleet, we had laws, and then we had what we did. It's stupid. What do you mean I can't have that tool? I got to have that tool. Well, you don't rate that tool. Y'all have seen this on MASH before, haven't you? Well, you don't rate that. It's not a joke. You guys don't rate that. But we do the work. It don't matter. You don't rate that tool. Well, how can we get that tool rated? Well, it'll probably take 5 years. Well, I'll be out of the Marine Corps by then. So, you know what happened when we found out we had an inspection coming? Corporal Waddell backed his car up to the tool room, raised the back hatch. We took all the special tools, set them in my car, parked it back out in the parking lot. They came through, they inspected our building, they inspected our toolboxes. Hey, all right, great, guys, you're doing by the book. I backed my car back up, raised the hatch up, put all the tools back, and we went back to work. Law just wants things to look right. It doesn't matter if it is right. That's all there is to it. When I got to 8th Motors, I got assigned. I unfortunately let them know somehow that I was smarter than I appeared. And they stuck me in an office maintaining and ordering parts and stuff, which was kind of fun sometimes. But until they said, we're having an inspection, commanding general's inspection of all the records. Mind you, I'd only been there a couple months, and all these vehicles had gone to the desert, and every record was lost. I personally had 200 pieces of equipment. And you can ask Angela, she will vouch for it. I would come home every night with a stack of papers, and I'd sit down on the floor, and I'd watch MASH, and I would fill out all these papers. And Joe Schmuckatelli and a few other made-up Marines did the work. I got a certificate of commendation for it. And it was all a lie. Every bit of it. They just wanted to see the paperwork was right. I don't know if they did the work. From what it sounds like, no. It doesn't. They were too busy messing around. Law doesn't care if it's right. It just wants to know that it was done the way they wanted it. God will justify you. God will work on you personally. I've told you time and time, but God will pick on the little things inside of you to start working out. And when he starts working on you, you need to deal with that. Focus on that. Last thing, and then we'll dismiss. Jesus talked about the tares, that an enemy went and planted tares in the wheat. And the workers went out and said, Master, do we go out and we take all the tear up the pull out them tares, get them tares out of there before we harvest wheat? He said, no, just wait till harvest. He said, if you take the tares out now, you'll destroy the crop. He said, we'll separate them in the end. God does that with us. He doesn't go out and jerk the things out of your life because it might just destroy the things he's trying to keep growing. There'll be a time it'll come out. And I'm going to tell you what, when that stuff does, when the breakthrough, I can't snap my finger. Ever since a little bowling injury, I cannot snap my middle my fingers. He will cause the harvest to come at the right time. And when that harvest comes, folks, I'm telling you, there were things that were broken in me. That's where I was trying to get to you there. Things were broken. I mean, broken. Just like alcohol was. It went, what? God took some of these other things out of my life that I had been fighting. He can do the same thing for you, no matter what it is. I don't care if you're just trying to quit smoking. I know some of you that chew, some of you that smoke. You think you're hiding it. The nose doesn't lie. And I'm praying that, you know, if you want a victory over it, fine. I'm not going to worry about it. Just not. Because it doesn't make you any holier. That's all there is to it. Jesus, you are justified and made holy by Jesus Christ and faith in him. I mean, let's remember, Noah was considered a preacher of righteousness, and the first thing we got record of him doing out of the ark is making a vineyard and getting drunk. Naked drunk. That's pretty bad. And yet, he's accounted as a man of righteousness. I don't suggest you keep getting that bad. You need victory over it. If you can control and just have a drink once in a while, I'm not going to condemn you. I can't. I will go over the top. It's a propensity. It's a issue with my family. It goes back generations. They could not contain the beast. Few people can. Me, it's not worth it. I love my children too much. So, like I said, we will make Romans next week. All right, let's stand. This week, here's your homework. I know, teachers, you just got out of school. You don't want to hear the word homework. But here's your homework. Ask God, what's hanging you up? Not your problem, okay? Your problem isn't what's hanging you up. It's either judgment of somebody else, or you're trying to be holy by something that is not a requirement. Ask God what's holding you up. And watch what God will break when you get free of it. If you need to fast and pray, and when I say fast, folks, I don't mean you just turn off the wheel of torture. I mean you shut the cabinet down, tell your husband or your wife, I'm not eating, you're on your own. If you got kids, you got to fix for them. You don't want your house burned down. Well, in the case of your husband, you may want that too, depending on how capable he is. But there's always Wendy's. But I promise you, the victory that you will have, the joy that it will bring to your life, it's going to change you so much. And you don't just have to keep taking the hits and just keep going on and on and on. You can take the hits knowing why. And you got a joy. You got a little spring in your step. You got life back in you. I know I do. So, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in here right now. Lord, I ask that you begin to open their eyes to the things that have been holding them back. Not the things that they thought were holding them, but the things that they just didn't see that was containing them and attaching them permanently to that device that was so easily besetting them. Father, I thank you and praise you. You're moving in their lives. You're healing them. You're restoring them. Lord God, they are going to find a new joy each and every time they get free. They break another chain, Lord God. They just continue to get free, and they continue to grow stronger and stronger, and in their joy rises more and more. Lord, I thank you and praise you for these people. I bless them, Lord God. I pray that as they go out, Father, that you lead them, you guide them in everything they say or do. Father, we pray for those that are going to parties and having parties. Lord, I bless them today in Jesus' name. Give them peace and mercy in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.